Our first reading today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous one will live by faith. And then to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all previously lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. The word of God for the people of God. I have to say this, you know, I've got a little recorder, you know, that we record the sermons and we put them online. And Sonia asked me last week, you know, she said, Aaron, you know, how close were you? You know, were you right by Miss Shirley? You know, and I'm glad y'all up there. I'm glad y'all here. And I said, well, no, why? She said, well, I could tell it was her voice. And I kept hearing her say, amen, amen, amen. You know, thank you, Miss. I'm just saying, thank you, amen. Okay, we're going to be looking at the letters of Paul this Lent. Jesus, as Paul knew him, Paul and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at some of the difficult sayings of Paul, and we're going to look at the meaning of the crucifixion as Paul saw it. Then there's a couple other things also we're going to be looking at that Paul talks about in his letters. But this is where we are this Lent. And this is what the journey that we're going to be on to the cross of Christ and his resurrection. We're looking at the gospel according to Paul. What Paul says about Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. Paul uses the word gospel, you know, a little over 60 times in his letters. And in doing that, Paul says, he puts it three ways. He says the gospel of God. He also says the gospel of Jesus. But he also says, my gospel, meaning Paul's gospel. Now, when Paul uses the word gospel, he uses it, you know, in its true meaning, meaning good news, that, you know, as people hear and listen to this good news, their lives are changed. You know, and the thing about it is, if enough lives are changed, what does that do? That changes the world, you know. That, you know, the world will change if we can get this good news to enough people, and if, you know, people believe it. But Paul says, you know, in the book of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is by this power, the power of God for salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ, and people hearing this good news then and now, their lives were changed. This is the message God worked and still works through his written word, the Bible. They worked through the preaching and the teaching of the apostles. Paul's good news, but Paul's good news starts with bad news. You know, much the message of Ash Wednesday. And what's the bad news? That we are mortals. We are human. And as humans, what do we struggle with? Sin. Yeah, and that is our human condition, that we struggle with it and sometimes we give in to it. In the book of Romans, Paul talks about sin quite a bit, and Paul uses the word for sin, hamartia. You know, it's an archery term, meaning there's a target, you know, or there's, you know, a mark that we're supposed to be shooting for, you know, that we know that target, we know that mark, and what is that? God's will for our lives, you know, that we, you know, we know it, but what? You know, at times we miss the mark, we miss the target, you know, and sometimes we only miss it by just a little bit, you know, and sometimes what? It's sometimes like we're closing our eyes and trying to hit the target, you know, and we just go flying off, you know, way in the other direction. In the Old Testament, you know, it's more of a straying from a path. They're kind of the same thing, but not a target, but a path that we know we're supposed to be walking, but at times we want to walk our own path. You know, the Apostle Paul believes all of us are what? Created in the image of God. And that image of God is imprinted on our souls, you know, that, yeah, we struggle with sin, but there's good in us, that we're created in the image of God, you know, so there is good in us, and we have the potential to do good. But when we stray from that path, when we miss the target, we don't do the things that we're supposed to do, and that's sin. Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What Paul is saying is God's angered by the hurt, the pain we inflict upon each other. People hurting and killing innocent people. People in our world today that are starving in a world with an overabundance of food. Paul goes on from here in chapters 1 and 2 of Romans talking about sin. And he starts talking about sin in his culture and his time. You know, and it could be today too. You know, Paul talks about worshiping idols, worshiping created things, things we can see, things we can touch. You know, and this is things on the news every day. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a depraved mind, to do those things that are not proper. People having been filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unfeeling, and unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, if you hear that list, is there anywhere in that list that you could think sometime you have done? When Paul writes this letter in his time, and people are hearing it, it's been read to them, they recognize that Paul is not only talking about people out there, but he's talking about the people that are reading and listening to it, that they are guilty of sins and all of these things are part of our human condition. Then Paul in chapter 2 of Romans comes after everyone. Paul is just saying, all of us have sinned, that we have committed sin, so none of us should be judging anyone. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Paul talks about himself. For I do not understand what I'm doing, for I am not practicing what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. And how many of us does that apply? You know, I know the right thing. I know the right path. I know the target I'm supposed to be trying for. But I do the things I want to do, not the things that God calls me to do. You know, we put sin into two categories. Sins of omission things we do not do, sins of commission, things we do do. We do not do something we should have done, not offering someone kindness, grace, mercy, not forgiving someone, not giving to a cause, not giving to the church, holding back grace, holding back mercy, holding back forgiveness, holding back kindness. But we do the things we should not be doing. Sins of commission. To say something to someone we should not have said. Just to think something about someone we should not have thought. Ways we act toward people. Things we say and do. And again, things we do not do. To help someone in need. Small things. Kindness. Mercy. That none of us are perfect all of the time. There's times we do things every day that we are guilty. All of us have heard of this, that things, how many times have you said this? Things happen for a reason. And what do you think that reason is? Huh? You know, I know there are churches, there are pastors, and there are people that believe everything happens for a reason, and that reason is what? God. That they believe God causes everything in the world to happen. But Paul teaches us that people sin. They stray from the path. They miss the mark. We don't follow God. We do the things that we want to do. The target God has for us. We do not follow the will of God for our lives. We do not do the thing God wants us to do. And we sin. So how can anyone say that God is a reason for everything when we are sinning and God does not want us to sin? That things happen for a reason. And it's always or usually because somebody has done something not following God. You know, to put this in another way, you know, and this came to me this week, you know, okay, how many people have cell phones? Everybody, huh? How many people have automatic updates on their cell phone? Huh? It came up the other day, automatic update time. You know, that you update to the latest operating system, the latest virus protection. Huh? Ma'am? It changed our clocks this morning. Yeah, you know, I got in the truck to go to the gym this morning and my clock hadn't changed yet. You know, and I'm going, so all morning I'm thinking, oh gosh, am I an hour behind? Did I look at my phone? No, I'm okay. But I'm laying in bed this morning watching. It went from 1:59, it never hit 2. Just went from 1:59 to 3. You know, I said, oh gosh. You know, but automatic updates. Okay, and you know, that happened. And think about automatic updates in this way. Lent. 40 days, a season of 40 days, not counting Sundays, because every Sunday is a mini Easter, celebrating Jesus, you know, and his life, death, and resurrection. But Lent is a time for us to automatic update. What? To automatic update to the will of God for our lives, to automatic update to the latest operating system. And what is that system? Jesus Christ, to update for the latest operating system, to update your virus protection to what? The Holy Spirit. No other better virus protection than if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're going to get attacked, you're going to get hacked. And when you get hacked, what happens? You get text messages sent out, you know, and they shouldn't be. And all of y'all know that, huh? Yeah, y'all laugh about that. But Lent is a time to update, return to God's operating system. You know, return to God in the human spirit. Jesus said to repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Change your mind, change your thoughts, change your heart. To update to God's way. To come to God in confession. Help me, God. Forgive me, God. to admit to God, God, I cannot do this by myself. I need you, Father, Son, Spirit. But more than that, God, I need the church. I need the people around me. That when push comes to shove, there's somebody there I can lean on. Somebody to help me. I've been hearing this song. You know, somebody prayed. There was a mountain moved. That somebody, there's a mountain come up in your life. You're out in the wilderness. And all of a sudden you find yourself. The angels are ministering to you. That somebody prayed. You know, Ash Wednesday, we made a sign of the cross with ashes on our forehead. It's a sign of repentance, a sign of our mortality, a sign we are in need of God's grace, and that we recognize we need forgiveness. The season of Lent is a time of thinking about this and trying to get it right again. Lent is a time to update. Now, right now, this very minute, think about a time that you strayed from the path. You don't have to shout it out. You don't have to tell your wife, your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, whatever. Keep it to yourself. Just think about a time that you've missed the mark, strayed from the path, time you've sinned, and repent. But more than that, take time during these 40 days and to do this. Take time during this Lenten season to sit down and write a letter to God. Name your sins. Name the times you've strayed. Tell God you need him. There's something about writing it down. And what was the other day? The other night, somebody said, there's something about verbalizing it. To tell God. You might want to be by yourself when you do that. Depending on what your sins are. To verbalize it to God. To write it down to God. I need you, God. I cannot do this by yourself. Make me, mold me, form me. God, you are the potter. I am the clay in your hands. Form me, Father, Lord Jesus. I was told this morning, I don't know how Baptist churches are now, but I was raised in a Baptist church, and every Sunday, I would hear, pounding on the pulpit, you're all going to hell. Every one of you, you're in trouble. There's nothing good in any of you. Amanda was raised Catholic. I brought her to a Baptist church and she walked out, Aaron, I ain't ever going back there. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not the gospel of Paul. Jesus was always, always what? Looking for that one lost sheep. That Paul has diagnosed a problem and then he gets to the solution. When we get sick, what do? Well, hopefully you go to the doctor. And what does the doctor do? Maybe a nurse practitioner. They'll write a prescription. And you hope that prescription's good. And you thank God you've got a good doctor, good nurse practitioner. You have got the best physician just in who? In Jesus. The best physician that could ever be. So come to Jesus for healing. People think of God sitting and eating with sinners, as Jesus did. Though on the other hand, some people think of God always angry, ready to pour out his wrath. But when you read scripture, the only time Jesus is critical is when he's talking to the religious hypocrites. All the other time, Jesus is that shepherd in search of the one lost sheep. Jesus is the Father welcoming home the prodigal son. You know, but this passage from Ephesians, you were dead in your offenses and sins in which you previously walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience among them. We too all previously lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But then these two words, then it says this, but God. We were all of that, but then scripture says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Yes, we are sinners, but God. Everybody say it, but God. And you know, I went through and I looked at, I don't know how many different translations, you know, I looked at. You know, almost all of them had that, but God. Some of them had but, you know, then something else, a few words, and then God. But all of them had it, you know, in some way, but God. That yet, while we were yet sinners, God sent his son to die for us. God's love and grace and mercy is more powerful than our sins. God has come after you. You did not go looking for God. He came looking for you. God is your strength. God is your hope. God gave his son so you would know that you are loved. To know and recognize there is no winning God's love, God's approval. God has already come after you. Just to accept it, to believe it, that even while we are yet sinners, God loves you. God is merciful. God is just. God longs to forgive us. God longs to walk with us and cleanse us and to lead us into the right path. By grace, we are saved. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. We are created for kindness, compassion, and mercy. We are created in the image of God, and that image is imprinted on your soul to accept God's love and grace and mercy. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And yet, people, there's evil in the world. That people sin, people don't follow the will of God for their lives. So how do we overcome that evil? The love of God. The love of God is the answer for everything. So sometime during this Lenten season, during these 40 days, take time to sit down and talk to God. Write that letter. Take time, you know, to automatic update to the will of God for your life and his unfailing love and mercy. And know you have been forgiven and God loves you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks for this day. Lord God, may each and every one of us during these 40 days, Father, Lord Jesus, come back to your will for our lives and trust in your goodness and your unfailing love, Lord God, and salvation offered in and through Jesus and his cross and his resurrection. Can we update, Father, Lord Jesus, to your way, not ours. In your son's holy and life-giving name, amen.